On today's show, who killed John McAfee? He said people were coming after him. Well, the billionaire found dead in his prison cell. We're going to get into this story this morning. And Congressman Matt Gaetz embarrasses himself in front of a four-star general, and it's just absolutely delicious to watch. Also, more evidence this morning, stunning evidence out of China, that China knew about COVID, created it, and then tried to cover it up. Yeah, we're going to hear some U.S. officials this morning on this whole issue. And guess what? Subway Sandwich. They're, it's the same company, Subway Sandwich Company. They have some explaining to do. It turns out there might not be any actual tuna in their tuna sandwich. Morning Invest.
What?
Starts right now. That's right. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that story in just a little bit. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Thursday. That's David over in the control booth. Let me see your shot. Are you drinking any coffee this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I went.
Oh, you do have. Yeah.
Went and grabbed me some Starbucks this morning.
Is that your what's your poison this morning?
My decaf venti black and white with one pump mocha, one pump white mocha.
Wow. I went black straight up iced coffee this morning. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Let us know how you're doing in the old chat room this morning. Weigh in. We'd love to have your feedback. Testing out a few different things here on the show. I'm excited about some of the new, I got a new monitor that's arriving for the studio. We're going to be rejiggering the studio over. By the way, I should mention next week, we have no show. We're going to be traveling, going out of the country, excited about that, and going to be spending some time traveling with the kids and wife. She's coming too. And so we're going to just take a little time off. We're not going to have a live show in the morning. We'll have some videos throughout the week, some different things I'll be covering, but no live show. So get it while the getting's good.
The kids don't watch but the show, right? Do they?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, because
I mean, the kid, well, my,
you've ruined the surprise like three times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they don't watch the show. They're not necessarily interested in business news yet. I will make them. But we still have our newsletter. You got to check out our newsletter, which we publish every day, Monday through Friday. So go check that out. Morninginvest.com is how you can subscribe. It's a great newsletter. We bring you the news of the day. Here's what it looks like. Very nice. Very nice newsletter. Delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. We hope you enjoy it. And it's free to subscribe. And it supports our show. Everything that we're doing here on the show. So thank you so much for all of your support. All right, let's get to what's making news this morning. I want to check the markets this morning because we're looking at, we had these jobs numbers. The markets are up this morning. We revised jobs numbers. The markets are up because we are getting close to a bipartisan infrastructure bill, if you can actually believe it. So all around right now, the markets are up. You know, Dow is up. S&P is up pre-market. So is NASDAQ. NASDAQ, of course, closed at a record high, 16th record close of 2021. Let's look at Bitcoin this morning. Bitcoin up over that 34,000 range this morning. Not bad, not bad. Ethereum climbing back, still down though, below 2,000. Dogecoin up a little bit this morning, coming back to 24 cents. Gold and silver prices up a little bit as well. So let's talk about what's going on with the stimulus this morning. So some big news overnight on the stimulus front. I mean, and I want to unpack this a little bit here because the White House said that a potential agreement with bipartisan negotiators in Congress was within reach now, that we could see a massive stimulus package passed. That's why we're seeing these down numbers this morning. That's why we're seeing these economic numbers looking so great this morning, because they're going to get a lot of money, right? I mean, Wall Street's loving this. Because they're about to get a huge windfall of cash. Think how many of these companies, cement companies, iron companies, steel companies, I mean, you name it. On and on, the list goes. Rubber companies, mineral companies, mining companies. It's all going to be just a huge windfall for Wall Street. But they said now it's within reach. This infrastructure investment package is expected to top over $1 trillion. It's a huge piece of President Biden's economic agenda. It would be considered a huge victory for him, even if it is watered down from where he wanted it, which is $2.3 trillion. So they've had a number of days of negotiations now after days of talks between a bunch of Biden administration officials and a group of centrist Democrats and Republicans. Jen Psaki last night during the press conference said that a deal could be ready to go. Like, we have one in hand. I'm going to quote her now. She said, White House senior staff had two productive meetings today, the bipartisan group of senators who've been negotiating about infrastructure. The group made progress towards an outline of a potential agreement, and the president has invited the group to come to the White House today to discuss this in person. Senators Rob Portman and Congressman Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey were on just a few moments ago and said, you know, and this is weird. You see like a Republican and a Democrat on camera together talking about how they've been working together. It's all been, I think we want bipartisanship in the United States, I think, right? In some regards, like we'd like to see that it's a collegial environment, that they're actually getting some things done. I think on the surface, that sounds good. We'll unpack that in a second, but here they were just a few moments ago.
Look, we'll see what the president says, but I will tell you we've worked very closely with White House negotiators all through this process, as well as working with Josh and his team over in the House. So we've tried to keep this as broad as possible. We now will be going out to our colleagues on both sides of the aisle, talking about the specifics. You and I have talked about this before, but this is about long-term capital investments to help the economy, make it more efficient, make it more productive. It's going to have a positive effect in the economy. It doesn't affect inflation because, in effect, it's adding to the supply side rather than the demand side, which is the issue with short-term stimulus spending. So I think this is a good thing for the economy right now. It's consistent with what every president over the last four or five have been asking for but haven't been able to get done. President Trump, as you recall, had an ambitious $2 trillion infrastructure package. This is about $1 trillion over the same period of time, $559 billion over the five-year period of new infrastructure. So I'm hopeful we can get a positive response from the White House today. And most importantly, it's good for America.
Good for America. So we don't know what the deal has in it yet, right? They've kept it very tight-lipped, kept it closed down. But again, you know, you see these guys getting up there together, Republicans and Democrats, and you're like, yeah, this is good. You know, like an era of bipartisanship is coming back into Washington. But when you unpack it a little bit, right? Once you start unpacking it, you think, wait a second, the only reason they're coming together on this, it's not because they care about you. They don't care about you.
I was gonna
say, they just want stuff. They want these big pork projects that they can like put their name on. That's all.
There's been bipartisanship for, I mean, as long as I can remember, over military budget and stuff. They're completely bipartisan when it's Wall Street.
Right. Yeah, they don't even have to. They don't even. They can literally get a budget done for the military in an afternoon. Oh yeah, great job, John. Way to go. Yeah, let's reach across the aisle. No dissenting votes. You know, like the only people that vote against is like Bernie Sanders, right? That's it. But otherwise, they just ram this stuff through. So, yeah, of course, they're out having these bipartisan meetings. It's because they all get to hang their hat on these big projects. The Rob Portman Bridge, you know, the Rob Portman Memorial Bridge. Josh Gottheimer, you know, wants to make sure that these salt deductions are taken care of in his state of New Jersey. That's so that these millionaires can get their extra deductions. So, you know, again, yes, they're going to pass this thing, it looks like. I mean, and they're going to get it done. Maybe they'll have it all done before July 4th. So if approved, the trimmed down bipartisan infrastructure package is expected to be followed by a more costly, ambitious, and huge effort by Biden to try to pass the rest of his economic agenda. He has another $3 trillion that he wants done. So this is just the first sort of main infrastructure piece. The rest is like, hey, maybe additional stimulus checks for the American people. It's money related to children, child care, all of that stuff.
Yeah,
that'd be in this next tranche.
Exactly. That's got to come after they help their buddies on Wall Street. They can't help us first. They got to help their buddies on Wall Street first, and then maybe they can convince them to get involved to give us some scraps.
Well, and that's what they did last time, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in March of last year, they passed bipartisanship. They passed that big stimulus package. And who was that for? That was for all the million. You know, that was for all the big businesses. That was for Wall Street. It was a huge handout for Wall Street.
But they called it the CARES
Act. And
then
the American people got screwed. Right. Yeah. What's in the name?
They give it this name, the CARES Act, so that everybody's like, yeah, but if they don't vote for it, they don't care. They don't care about the American people. Meantime, they're like, wasn't it brilliant to name it the CARES Act?
Oh, yeah. It's like when they name things like the Clean Air Act. It's not actually the Clean Air Act at all. It's like actually a rolling back of clean air policy. But hey, you got to vote for it, right? Because then if you, they can run television ads, you know, Clayton voted against the Clean Air Act. Well, yeah, I voted against a bill that would actually make the air worse, but they named it that. So that's why, you know, it's we'll see. But hey, looks like Democrats, Republicans, bipartisanship coming together. They're going to try to get this thing passed in the next few days, up by July 4th. So we'll see. We'll see. And by the way, we still don't even know what's in the thing. So we haven't even got a chance to look at the details of this thing. They're keeping it close to the vest, and they're going to try to move it quickly and pass it.
Clayton, we'll know what's in it after it passes. Come on, man. That's how they do it. We'll know what's in it after it passes, and everybody's, you know, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Don't insult him. Sorry, Joe. It's the truth. Yeah, Grover's even pissed.
Did he hear the come on, man?
What? Yeah, he heard the, Grover heard the come on, man, and he's like, what? He was like, what the heck is that? Let's see if I can get that camera over here.
Oh, we see
a troublemaker. Yeah. Stop.
Come on, man.
Oh, I got to set it for a preset there. There's the troublemaker. He wants bipartisanship. He just wants free. He just wants more kibble. Just give me some kibble. Can you put that in the package and I'll be happy with that? Yeah. And he's off. We got more news to get to in a moment. We're going to talk about John McAfee. This story is just amazing. I broke this story yesterday on Twitter. No one even had this story up. No American news organizations even had this story published. And I published it on Twitter yesterday because I was reading one of the international papers. And that's who broke the story. And there's a lot of mystery around this thing. Tell me in the chat, like, what do you guys think happened with this guy? There's just a lot of weirdness about this. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Codecademy. Grover loves Codecademy because he can learn to code. I mean, you can join the millions of people learning to code. There's never been a better time to become a programmer. And with Codecademy, you can learn to code on your own terms. Whether you're just starting from scratch or you're looking to advance, Codecademy can help you reach your coding goals. Learn to code might be the easiest way to change your career. A lot of people changing their career right now, you know. Simply put, Codecademy is the best way to learn to code online. It not only teaches you the job-ready coding skills, but they also help you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates, even prep for technical interviews. Codecademy is pretty amazing. And, you know, first of all, the interface makes it really simple. You take the quiz, figure out what you want to learn, and then you just dive right into it. They give you instant feedback. You can see how you're doing. You can get qualified for in-demand jobs in as little as 2 months. Learn at your own pace, at your own level. Choose what to learn, from building websites to analyzing data, everything else that you can think of. Interactive platforms helps you learn by doing. Build your portfolio. Get a certificate of completion to make yourself more marketable in the future. Okay, here's how you can get 15% off Codecademy Pro. So here's what you have to do. Join the millions of people learning to code with Codecademy and see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership when you go to Codecademy.com. Use the promo code INVEST. That's promo code INVEST at Codecademy.com to get 15% off Codecademy Pro. The best way to learn is Codecademy. Codecamy. I need to spell that again. I need to take a course on how to spell. Codecademy.com and use promo code INVEST.
It is a hard one.
Grover decided to join me on my lap today during the show. So, we'll see how this goes.
It's like, what is all this madness?
What is all this madness? I'm looking at you. He's my little lap puppy. All right, we got to get back to the news, Grover. All right, let's talk about John McAfee. So this story is amazing. you know, if you, I don't know if you've been following this. Yesterday, I was literally doing trading in one of our trading groups and international folks, and said John McAfee was just found like dead in his prison. Like, what's going on here? You know, billionaire, software billionaire, John McAfee. And I'll ask you the question, like, who killed the guy? Because this is shady as F, let me tell you that much. Just like, I mean, like the Jeffrey Epstein story, right? I mean, all you need to do is, like, go check out Drudge today. Just look at the front page of Drudge. And what was remember he, it, on that...
What was he in prison for?
So he was arrested. He was arrested back in the fall. He was arrested in the fall after for tax evasion, crypto fraud in Spain. They rounded him up. They rounded him up and grabbed him for tax evasion, for not paying taxes for like 4 years. He's facing a 10-count indictment in the Western District of Tennessee.
Wait a minute.
Since October for allegedly evading taxes on millions of dollars in income.
Wait a minute. But Bezos, like, how do the, does he just not a smart billionaire? Like, he doesn't know how to play the system like they do? Or is that just like, what, they only go after him when it's like somebody that's potentially going to disrupt the system?
Well, he's a little bit of a wild guy. I don't know if you, like, people call him the madman, right? He's like, sort of
I've
the original.
I've seen interviews.
Man,
he's definitely not all there.
Yeah. I mean, he's, so first of all, he creates one. By the way, you ever use McAfee? It was like the worst. I mean, if you wanted to like your computer to stop working, you put McAfee on it. And my parents would get a computer. We had a computer growing up and put McAfee on it. Like you're just, you know, you're screwed. It immediately would grind your CPU to a halt on that thing, which is awful. So yeah, he was being held in a prison in Spain. And then the extradition comes through and in just a few hours later, he's found hanging in this, in his cell. Okay. So, and he predicted this. He said, by the way, if I'm killed, and he even got a tattoo. So he got a tattoo to show that he was warning people about this. He had a whacked tattoo on his arm and said, if I'm ever found dead in quote suicide, that I did not kill myself. People like this and Epstein, they don't kill themselves. They don't. They don't. There is his whacked tattoo. I mean, if you know you're about to be, like, he said they're coming for me. He said they're coming for me. So, you know, he said, getting subtle messages from U.S. officials saying, in effect, we're coming for you, McAfee. We're going to kill, we are going to kill yourself. I got a tattoo just in case. If I, quote, suicide myself, I didn't. I was whacked. Check my right arm.
Jeannie wants to know, McAfee didn't catch the virus. I thought that was the reason. No, like, I don't think one of the side effects of the virus is a rope around the neck, right?
Right. Yeah, he got spyware'd. He got anti-virused. I mean, something's fishy. Something fishy is going on here. I mean, in the same way that later, of course, we now know there was foul play involved in Epstein's death. We know from top investigators that clearly it wasn't homicide, or clearly it wasn't suicide. Will we find the same thing here? Like his cell, they were watching him. They were watching him. And you mean to tell me like we don't have camera footage of this? Like what's going on? And news reports are saying it's, you know, like the Post and others are saying it's apparently suicide. Apparently. I mean, so what was he scared of? He's getting hints that the government's coming after him.
They got that stuff under surveillance 24/7, and the fact that the cameras just magically didn't work with Epstein, that's a bunch of bull. You know there's footage of it somewhere, or those cameras were intentionally turned off, one of the two, and it's the same thing here. There's probably plenty of footage showing everything. It either got turned off intentionally or, you know, somebody grabs it.
Yeah, of course. What do you think, buddy? I think it's all very fishy. I think it's all very fishy. And so, you know, he also had recently, he was in deep trouble for this pump and dump scheme around crypto. So he made millions of dollars pumping some crap altcoin that came and went. See, what does Cody say? McAfee and Epstein, both high profile inmates. As a former corrections officer, this is very disturbing. High profile inmates don't do this. Thank you, Cody, for that. And that's interesting perspective. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He did not die by his own hands. Guys like this do not. Okay. It's not something that happened. And, you know, and it's amazing to me. It's like the mainstream media just came like right out. They're like, he killed himself. He killed himself. Really? Where's your proof? Like, are we just now mouthpieces of what like the Spanish authorities are telling you? Like the Spanish government is going to tell you that, or this prison officials are going to tell you that? We're just going to take that at face value?
Well, that's the difference between prompter readers and journalists, though, Clayton.
Well, exactly. Or just copying press releases out. That's what most people do these days. Like most people that work at these terrible news organizations, they just copy press releases. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something's really fishy about this, though. But I mean, if you get a tattoo... Driving me nuts is what you're doing. You're gonna scratch me up. Watch out, man. I got chapstick.
People are asking how your elbow is. Chapstick. How your elbow is this morning.
Yeah. I fell yesterday. Smashed my elbow. Smashed my knee. I was walking Grover. So you didn't believe me. Look at that knee. Oh, it's all bloody. It's all bloody. I'm sorry. If you're listening to the audio version, just, I want you to picture, like, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, just know that it's bad.
Yeah,
like,
just really picture bad. Huge, huge, huge gash. Gashes like we've never like seen I'm lucky, before.
Like, frankly, I'm lucky I still have my arm. Let's be honest.
Right. We are lucky right now that Trump isn't talking about your wound, because he'd be saying that is the biggest wound ever on a human that fell.
Huge.
Huge.
Biggest wound I've ever seen. Huge. Grover, you going to sit with me? Being a little beast right now. Just lay down. Anyway, that's John McAfee. Let me know your thoughts on him. I think you know, in the media just becomes mouthpieces for this stuff. They just regurgitate it. They don't do any actual investigations. And I want to know, like, why? You know, what are they coming after? What do these billionaires have to hide? And they're not even safe. By the way, like, they're not even in, they're like safe in other, like, other countries' prisons anymore. They want you. They're coming for you. What happened to Epstein? What dirt do they have? What dirt does he have on these people?
Truth be told, it's probably easier in other countries because it's a lot easier to hide the narrative. I mean, look at what we do in the Middle East. There's so much secrecy because it happens over there and nobody talks about it here. They can create whatever narrative they want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, he's rotting away in some, you know, Spanish prison somewhere. Pay a little money under the table, we'll go right in there and take care of everything. I mean, it's a little easier. I think, like, where was the, let's see if I have a picture of the prison cell. Oh yeah, here, take a look at this. This is the prison cell. And apparently he had even said, like, oh, I'm doing fine. I've got friends here. It's a good time. He's like, I'm fine. While he was being held in this prison. So then he gets a tattoo warning of the fact that they're coming after me and I will not kill myself. That's not what I do. I'm a billionaire, and I get a tattoo just to remind everyone about it. And then the very day that extradition is now approved for him to return to the United States, he's dead. Let me know what you think in the old chat. This is another story I'm following this morning, this Chinese story. This story out of China is pretty crazy. More evidence this morning that China, we've been talking about this, and I guess we can now talk even more about it here on the show. There's more evidence this morning that China created the virus, knew about it, and then went to great lengths to cover it up. And this morning, a bombshell report from U.S. officials saying Chinese scientists asked for removal of virus records from the database in Wuhan. From the database. This is remarkable. So records of early COVID-19 cases in Wuhan were deleted from a U.S. database at the request of Chinese scientists. American officials have confirmed this morning. A team of academics from Wuhan, where the first documented cases of COVID appeared, submitted sequences of the virus that causes the disease to a U.S.-based archive in March of 2020. 3 months later, however, they then asked for those sequences to be removed and the data deleted. according to the U.S. National Institutes of Health, confirming the results of an investigation by separate biologists. Submitting investigators hold the rights of their data and can request withdrawal of the data at any time, the NIH says.
You know what this sounds like?
The delete? What?
This sounds like the U.S. is trying to, embrace this theory now all of a sudden because they're getting caught, but they're trying to pull their involvement out of it. You know, the fact that, like, Google gave some money to fund that research. Fauci gave some money to fund that research. So there's a lot of people that help fund that research. And I think that this is sounds like a way to distance themselves and get them out of it. And now we're just going to go full on blame China. Yes, it was in the lab, but it was China. We promise. We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Well, and look, we're beating the drums louder and louder for potential war with China, aren't we? I mean,
yeah,
we got to have another bad guy, right, in the narrative. So China's going to be the next bad guy, or Russia and China. So that's why we got to spend more on our military budget, because we need another bad guy, right? Star Wars doesn't work if you don't have Darth Vader. You got to have a bad guy. Can't just have Yoda running around. So U.S. says Chinese scientists asked for the removal of the virus records from the database. I mean, going back to, you know, as early as 2019, the deleted information did not prove how it infected humans first, whether via animals or laboratory leak from the Wuhan Institute. But experts said the incident demonstrated further evidence of how Chinese researchers and officials have not been fully transparent in how they dealt with the data related to the pandemic's origin. But the results do not rule out a natural spillover origin and do not rule in a laboratory spillover origin. They do provide evidence, though, of deliberate obfuscation of early events in the emergence of the SARS-CoV-2 in Wuhan in the fall of 2019, and evidence of deliberate obstruction of the investigation of those events. So they asked to have that data removed and deleted. I guess we can now talk about this more freely, you know? Like you see Jon Stewart on Colbert's show the other night. Colbert tried to shut it down. He's too scared. Because somehow, I guess it's racist to talk about where this virus came from.
That's how they try to spin it. So that it's like they don't want you talking about the facts and everything. I mean, it's like, what can we do to make it so that it's taboo to talk about? We'll just make it a race thing. Okay, yeah, it's racist to talk about. But I mean, they're just trying to pull the United States out of it, because a lot of people don't realize that the United States funded a lot of that research.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just a racist.
Did you read the article that Google funds the Wuhan Link scientist study?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'll have to send it to you. But there's a guy, what's the scientist's name? Duzak or something like that. They were funding his project, and so it's pretty serious. But I'll send you the article.
What was the doctor's name? D's nuts?
Peter Daszak.
Oh, Daszak. Okay, Daszak.
Daszak. Okay.
Sure. Daszak. No, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, and that's exactly, you know, we can now suddenly, like, you know, YouTube didn't want to allow people to talk about it. I mean, heck, you even saw, like, people are now saying, wait a minute, we can talk about ivermectin now all of a sudden?
Well, isn't that kind of funny?
Oh, now.
If Google was help funding it, maybe that's why they didn't want anybody talking about it.
Right. So you'd have YouTube videos taken down if you mention any of this stuff. You mention any of this stuff out of Wuhan. Oh, no, you're racist. You're racist. Oh, for what? Three people at the lab got sick. Lab leaks happen all the time. It starts in this exact building. They were there studying it. We get provided the money and research around it. And miraculously, wow, these big pharma companies managed to have a vaccine ready to go in record time. Imagine that.
I just
imagine
sent you
how all of this happens.
I just sent you the article in Facebook Messenger. I don't know if you.
Okay.
It just.
To use FaceTime. I have to log in. Yeah.
Oh, it just. But, I mean, it just smells like it's like once you start seeing, like, from the most part, if you watch the mainstream media, you don't have a bunch of pieces of a puzzle to put together. You have one narrative that you're pounded with, and that's it. And then that's what you walk away believing. But if you're somebody like us, Clayton and I, that read this stuff in various places, once you start to piece all this stuff together, it really starts to stink, because then all of a sudden what the narrative, what the mainstream narrative is, doesn't add up. That's what becomes the conspiracy theory, because you start to see these little pieces of facts that start to build this story that does not equal what they're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we got people in the chat right now, like Joyce McDrew says, by saying racist, it's a way to stop the talk. Exactly.
Yeah. Because people are be like, well, I don't want to sound racist.
Yeah. Claire Dunn says, thank you. So ridiculous how they say you're racist. But what does it have to do with that? I mean, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that it started in that friggin' building.
Right. It didn't start because of the fact that they're Chinese.
Right. Yeah. It started in that particular building. It's amazing.
And they were doing what is that called? Gain of function research is what they were doing in that lab. And there's been there's a scientist that right at the very beginning looked at the virus under a microscope, and he's like, yeah, this has a cleavage added to it, which meant it was scientifically manipulated. And he said, there's no way this came from a bat.
Yeah, the cleavage. I mean, big fan, by the way. But in this case, I'm not. So when you see cleavage inside of the structure, it's clearly like man-made at the molecular level, right? And yeah, Lala says you fell and hurt your elbow, and that makes you very racist. Exactly. I hurt my elbow, and that makes me racist. Everything you do makes you a racist, right?
Everything. It's like, and that's a topic that I just brought up on Facebook yesterday. I was like, the media tries to make everything about race, gender, and sexual preference these days. And if you say anything that goes against that narrative, if you look like you're, you know, you say anything that's like, well, I don't think, like, I was in a debate about comic books and how they want to, you know, change the sexual preference of some of these longtime comics. And it's just a discussion. But the thing that, like, they end up saying, because of my opinion, is like, well, you're a sexist and you're a homophobe. And it's like, no, like that always ends up being the thing. So they push that narrative, and then it's like, you're damned if you talk about it at all in any way that doesn't fit their narrative. And that's with everything. So it's like this race war continues because the media pushes it over and over and over again.
Yeah. And then now suddenly the media is on the story. Like, I don't know what changed. Like, what changed where they got some directive from the White House now? Now we're allowed to talk about it because President Biden, like earlier this week or in May, said we should investigate the lab.
Well, because they figured out a way they could point it at China and pull themselves out of it. This is the weapons of mass destruction is what this is. This is the vial that Colin Powell held up in his hand. They got the vial.
Yeah, this is what Saddam Hussein is working on right now. Really? Yep. No, not at all. But this is the fake story that we spin to you so that we go to war, right? Tippy says, I live in a predominantly black neighborhood, and because I don't like them partying at 3 a.m. outside my window, that makes me a racist. If you're white, you're automatically a racist, apparently, Tippy says. I don't know that that's the case, you're automatic, but it's like in this situation, and that has nothing to do with it. Just, I don't want people partying out my window at 3 a.m. I don't care what color your skin is. You know, I want to sleep. I've got kids. Shut up. Like, I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Asian or white. I don't care. Shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
The majority of people don't care. I don't care what somebody's sexual preference is. I don't care what their race is. I don't care what anything is. Like, as long as you're a good human being, that's all I care about.
Right.
Like, you're not hurting other people. Do as you will. Like, but everybody has to
just don't hurt other people.
Yeah. And it's like, we're in this society where you have to plant a flag. You have to plant a flag on the left, or you have to plant a flag on the right. You cannot have a flag in the middle because both sides attack you and try to pull you further to their side.
Right. Someone says, Sebastian says, it'd be hilarious if all of a sudden if this live stream ended mysteriously. So go get a tattoo that says, I did not end this live stream.
Yeah, I'm going to get one just that says sacked.
Just like McAfee. Sacked. Whacked. I mean, it's amazing, right? Here's a guy who literally says, like, they're coming for me. They're coming for me. I'm not going to kill myself. If I die in my cell, I did not kill myself. I was killed. Unbelievable. I'd love to know your guys' theory. Drop me a comment below about this. I mean, but we now have confirmation. I mean, this is from the Financial Times, but you know, the U.S. officials saying that Chinese scientists asked for removal of virus records from the database. Like, here we go. Here's the virus. Here's the sequence. Now, can you remove it from the database and wipe it clean? Delete it? Please? And then Wuhan, and then everything happened. And then the world shuts down. I think we have a right to know about this.
Well, and U.S. Still scientists zero. Were working there. So was it U.S. scientists that asked the Chinese regulators to ask U.S. the U.S.? Like, our hands are so deep into this. Anthony Fauci's hands are so deep into this. They're just trying to save themselves while the ship is going down because too much information is out there. There has to come a time. It was funny. I can't remember who said this, but they're like, you know, all of a sudden more people are getting pissed off. More people are seeing what's going on. And the more people that see what's going on and cause a stink, at some point, all the stuff that they're doing is going to come to a head because people are just going to, you know, I mean, all it's going to take is for everybody to realize and then left and right isn't going to matter. And we're all going to have to come to the middle. That's going to have to happen. It's the only way that anything is going to get fixed. But in the meantime, they are so able to spread their messages and push their agendas and tell us things and, you know, start these media campaigns. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, it was, you know, Dr. Fauci's amazing. Then you got the other side. Oh, he did this. He did that. But it's like the bottom line is U.S. money was used for gain of function research in that lab. You know, just watch Jon Stewart's thing. Jon Stewart's little piece on Colbert is telling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you guys, I would play it here, but CBS always gives me a copyright. CBS is the only one. So I would play that. If you guys haven't watched Jon Stewart last week on Stephen Colbert's show, it's priceless. And I was really angry, like watching it because like I used to do stand-up comedy and I like comedy and I wanted to be David Letterman when I was a kid, you know, growing up. And watching Stephen Colbert interrupt Jon Stewart over and over again, like I kept thinking, like, what would David Letterman or Johnny Carson have done with a guest like Jon Stewart that night? Johnny Carson would have just sat back with his hand up like this, laughing the whole time. Wouldn't have interrupted him at all. Nothing. He would have just let him go, right? Only when there was a lull or something would Johnny have sat back up and said, oh, yeah, you like that, don't you? You know, like he would have let the guy do his job as a comedian.
Well, and you could see how uncomfortable he was
with this Wuhan lab.
And he was looking off camera. Did you notice like he kept looking off camera off to probably a producer or something who was probably saying, dude, cut this guy off.
You gotta go to commercial. Can you save? Yeah. Because he's pandering to this, you know, he's pandering to the CBS audience, this middle of the road corporatist oligarchy liberal BS that runs the show over there. So Jon Stewart, you know, he doesn't get paid by those guys, so he can go on there and tell the truth. And talks about this lab story. And the whole audience was with him on it, by the way, with Jon. You know? It was just crazy. And David Letterman would have done the same thing. Letterman would just sat back and just laughed the whole time. But instead, Stephen Colbert just kept interrupting him. And then he started insulting him. He's like, I didn't know. When are you, you know, when did you start working for Ron Johnson? Like, what? Like, here's the guy who like made your career, by the way.
Yeah.
And you're insulting. I mean, it was, you guys got to watch that. It's just infuriating. Like, I cannot watch Stephen Colbert anymore after that. Like, I just lost all respect for him.
I stopped watching him and got pissed off the way he treated Tulsi Gabbard. You know, like when he was talking to Tulsi Gabbard, he's like, what do you think about you having, you know, you're Assad apologist and you have all these like racist people following you. And I would have been like, Stephen, do you condone all the racists that probably watch your show. I mean, there's people that watch his show that he probably, you know, pedophiles and all this other stuff. And it's like he's blaming her for people who supported her. And when he did that, like the smear campaign on her, I just stopped watching him. Because I thought that was rude.
Yeah, I would catch him occasionally. I just think he's become so self-important, and he's just in that sort of Pod Save America world, corporate Rachel Maddow, liberal, you know, corporatist mentality. That's what he is. That's all he is. He's a mouthpiece for that, right?
I mean, Colbert Report. Anyway, you know, if he would have been on the Colbert Report, he would have, you know, he would have been a different host with that segment.
Oh, clearly. I mean, yeah, and to me, when he played the role, the character, the conservative character, Stephen Colbert, he was brilliant. You know, his interviews with Bill O'Reilly were brilliant because he goes on there playing a character, and then he loses that character when he comes over to CBS, and now he's himself, and it's just not as funny. I mean, nowhere nearly as funny, you know?
Well, it's like yesterday, Jennifer, he was on and Jennifer wanted to watch it, and he's still on about Trump. He cannot stop talking about Trump because that's pretty much what like made him over there.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. Just weird.
It's like, why don't we have a conversation about President Biden?
Yeah, no, none of them are saying anything. I mean, they don't want to say anything about Biden. They're not telling the truth about Fauci. Like, all of this whole thing, they're not telling the truth about it. And the thing is, they're, you know, he knows if he has a friend like Jon Stewart in that circle, like, you know, he knows these things. So,
yeah,
he's choosing not to talk about them.
Well, and, you know, like this week, do you see President Biden like talking about gun control? I mean, he couldn't even put a sentence together. I didn't even know what he was talking about.
Yeah, no, you know how much fodder this is for Saturday Night Live and all this stuff, and they don't touch him. They don't want, they're like, he's not Trump, leave him alone. He's the good old grandpa that's in the White House. And this was the fear. Democrats would go to sleep when Biden went in because they're like, well, he's not Trump. Everything's back to normal. But the thing is, like, one of the first things he did is bomb Syria. Like, you know, at least Trump started no new wars.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe, it's the truth. It's the truth. We're all supposed to look the other way. Look, you know, you know me, I'm not a Republican. The furthest thing from, I'm not a Democrat either. And we call BS here. But you know that if Trump gets up there and makes a speech that's rambling and no one understands what he's saying, Biden the other day basically said, all these people who say we need to protect ourselves with guns, to keep, you know, hold guns to protect ourselves against our country, you really want to take on the United States, you better get some nuclear weapons and some F-15s. Like, guns aren't going to matter. Like, what? If Trump had said that?
Oh, my gosh.
People would have flipped the... Right? But there's no mainstream media didn't touch it.
I mean, because on the mainstream media, Trump's a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Right.
But Biden and, who actually lies as much as Trump, gets a free pass.
Come on, man.
Yeah, and he goes on and on about, you know, rambling in his speech, and people are like, really, like, what were you saying? We would have had discussions about it if it was Trump. Like, oh, is he mentally exhausted? Like, what's going on here? Is he just tired? Like, no, mainstream media just don't, no comment about it. No comments about it. I want to get to this Matt Gaetz story. See what happened to Matt Gaetz yesterday. Oh, man, this is juicy. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to tell you about our friends over at Blue Chew. Blue Chew. Here we go. Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life. It can also help when you need some help in the bedroom, especially when it comes time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. They always say first impressions are important. So what about some lasting impressions? Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets delivered right to your house. You don't have to deal with any awkward doctor visits or anything like that. No waiting in line at a pharmacy. It's all done online, shipped right to you. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead. Be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical professionals, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And guess what? You're going to get you're going to really save a whole bunch of money. You can try it for free. So if you could benefit from the extra confidence in the bedroom, Blue Chew can help. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. You don't have to be embarrassed about this. Give it a try. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code INVEST at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code INVEST, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our show. Thank you, Blue Chew.
Thanks, Blue Chew.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I like a company with a sense of humor. I also like a company that supports our show and supports independent journalism. So thank you, Blue Chew. Thank you for standing up for the little guy, right?
Debbie says, Clayton,
stand up.
We don't want to know what you use on Natalie. Yuck. She's like, oh my gosh, you're not eating at Blue Chew again, are you?
Yeah, I'm like, I just have a little container. I'm just watching the football game. Are you eating peanuts? No, I've just got a whole thing of Blue Chew.
I'm eating some Blue Chew.
We're not going anywhere this weekend. Can we have a sense of humor, everybody? Please, I hope.
We have to. It's the only thing left.
Life is too freaking short, you know? My God. Get over yourselves. All right, I want to talk about this Matt Gaetz story. Life is too short to not enjoy Matt Gaetz story. So, sorry. I'm trying to find something here. Okay, there we go. All right. So, do you guys see this Matt Gaetz story? Do you see him embarrass himself yet again yesterday? He loves to do this in front of the cameras, by the way. Oh, he's such a chump. Anyway, you'll recall this Matt Gaetz, for those of you who don't know who he is the Trump-loving whack job that is under investigation for trafficking underage girls, among other issues. And it's all around this idea of critical race theory, or CRT. So when you hear people talking about it, or you flip on Fox News, and you want to understand all this, here's what it is, to put this in some context, okay? Critical race theory aims to basically study American society and understand the systemic racism in this country. If you don't believe there's been systemic racism in this country, you need to get your head examined. So evangelicals particularly and Trump supporters are like been freaking out about CRT, that like in businesses and in government institutions, like that they would study this or make this part of like sort of mandatory like diversity training or anything like that. It's such a problem for people. And some of these conservatives have begun working with members of Congress to bar the military from holding diversity training and to withhold federal funds from schools and colleges that promote anything that can be packaged as critical race theory. Like, heaven forbid that we teach our children that slavery was actually terrible. Literally, some of these conservative history texts literally say that the slaves weren't treated that badly. They were given food. Literally. Like, they were, I don't know if you get this, they were slaves, beaten on a regular basis, taken from their land and forced into slave labor because they were given food, they were treated okay, or some of them lived in the house with the master, that's okay. That's literally what some of these texts say. And that's what we're teaching our children. How about that? It was actually awful. It was horrific. So apparently Matt Gaetz thinks that whining on and on about critical race theory will distract him from being under investigation for trafficking underage girls and then witness tampering about it. Well, yesterday was just delicious. Yesterday, during a House military budget hearing, little Gaetzy and his Republican colleagues wanted to make the teaching of critical race theory in the U.S. military academies a big issue. So this was what they were going to spend their time yesterday talking about in the budget hearings for the military. Like, not that we go to war or that we spend money on bombs, but that we would actually want to study diversity training in the military. That's what he's upset about. Now watch the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff shut him down with this. It is a delicious 2 minutes that I hope you will enjoy. Watch this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. I know my time is very precious, but I would like to yield some of my time to General Milley because I know that he had some comments that he wanted to make when Representative Gates was talking, as well as Mr. Waltz, about a similar subject of the stand down and race theory. Would you like a minute or so to comment on that? Do you remember what we were, what your line of questioning or thought was there?
Sure. First of all, on the issue of critical race theory, et cetera, I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university. And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage. And I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out. I want to maintain an open mind here, and I do want to analyze it. It's important that we understand that because our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardians, they come from the American people. So it is important that the leaders, now and in the future, do understand it. I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers of being, quote, woke or something else because we're studying some theories that are out there. That was started at Harvard Law School years ago, and it proposed that there were laws in the United States, antebellum laws prior to the Civil War, that led to a power differential with African Americans that were three-quarters of a human being when this country was formed. And then we had a Civil War and Emancipation Proclamation to change it. And we brought it up to the Civil Rights Act in 1964. It took another 100 years to change that. So look it, I do want to know. And I respect your service, and you and I are both Green Berets. But I want to know. And it matters to our military and the discipline and cohesion of this military. And I thank you for the opportunity to make a comment on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ouch. Is that not awesome?
Yeah. That. Oh. With this one thing, I got one critique. It was not thousands of people that went into the Capitol. There were thousands of people there protesting, but I hate how everybody that was there is blanketed into this like they were guilty of going into that. You know, that's the only thing. That's my only critique.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't thousands, but, and there was also, you know, the reason maybe the Republicans don't want to even investigate it is because there was work on the inside. I mean, how are the doors opened? How are they given tours ahead of time? Like, what will we find if we actually pull the, you know, lift the rug up and look underneath it, figure that out? We don't want to know. We don't want to know why, like, certain members of the, you know, the police force there were basically letting people in. We don't want to be critical about it. Just don't bring that up. If you're on mainstream media, don't talk about it. It's uncomfortable. But I love his take on this, right? Like, I want to know why people stormed the I want to understand what caused them to do this. I want to understand the system that was put in place in the United States that actually led us into a war. Shouldn't we understand that? Shouldn't we have some kind of idea about what our systems are doing to people in the United States? Yeah, it's pretty good. But little Gates, he couldn't handle it. I anytime I get a good like clip like that that can just put the smack down on Matt Gaetz, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Let's see if he runs. I think he was trying to set himself up to run for president. We'll see. You see Ron DeSantis, by the way. Ron DeSantis beats Trump in a poll right now, in a head-to-head poll. And Ron DeSantis in Florida is saying, hey, look, I will not run for president if President Trump decides to run again. Like, I won't. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. But he's leading right now. Like, it's Ron DeSantis. Didn't we call this last year? I was saying he's going to run for president. He's setting himself up to run for president. You watch. Here we go. We get these straw polls that show Ron DeSantis out in front. So get ready for, I don't know, Trump part two and Ron DeSantis. And maybe he'll appoint Matt Gaetz, like his vice president. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Let's not forget Josh Hawley. He'll be in there.
Yeah. Deloitte says Matt Gaetz should be in jail.
They all should be in jail.
That's right. That's true.
I mean, if people did what they're doing here in Scotland, like, I'm telling you what, those people would be on the front of the Capitol building, wrapped in string with no clothes on, getting manure thrown on them.
Right. You know, I think in England they're starting. They're talking about shortening the amount of time that they run for office for the prime minister election. Do you know that it's only like how many people from England do we have watching this morning? I know we have a bunch that watch our show. I don't know if anyone's watching this morning, but don't they only run for like 3 months anyway? 2 months? Well, now there's like a move now to make it even shorter. And we're already doing straw polls in the United States so people can already start positioning themselves and start running for 2024. It's not even 2022 yet, and we're already starting to get it. The positioning's already begun.
Well, and that's the thing.
Money raising is already going.
And people are calling for term limits. Could you imagine if there were term limits? Like how much this election, like just, that's just an excuse for people to be lazy. I don't want to do any research on these people. Let's just limit their term so I don't have to do anything. And then I'll just watch what the next guy does. We would be in constant election cycles.
Yeah, and frankly, we mostly are. I mean, there's a very small window. You know, I mean, there's a very small window of time where you are not running for a campaign. Like after you're elected to the Senate, you're in there for like a little bit of time, and you've got to get back on the phone with donors. You got to keep that money machine going. It's got to be a constant phone call you're making to these donors.
You know what? If these people would go in there and instead of campaigning all the time and worrying about that, if they just put their head down and did their freaking job, people would vote for him. They'd be like, oh, he's getting stuff done. He's doing the job. And then these other people would come along and they'd have no excuse. They'd be like, well, this person isn't working for you. But they're like, yes, he is. Look at all the stuff he's passing or she's passing or whatever. If they would just do their job, they would just naturally get in there. The reason they have to campaign is to, well, I voted this way on that, but I'll never do that again, I promise. $2,000 checks will go out next week. You know, the only reason they have to campaign is to make excuses for their lies.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Dean Thomas says, am I the only one that sees Clayton's voice look like an Italian Western movie? Like it's out of sync? Is my voice out of sync today?
No, that was on their end. I had that guy refresh.
Oh. Just refresh, guys. Just refresh your browser.
Yeah, just refresh.
We're all good on our side. Like a lip syncing track. Like, hey, put that down. You there, move away. Oh, brother. Did you guys see this story? This is my favorite story of the day. So, Subway. Remember that recent lawsuit by a guy that said there was no tuna in the Subway tuna sandwich? Well, a lab test commissioned by the New York Times has agreed with him. Found no traces of tuna DNA in over 60 different tuna sandwiches that they tested from Subway.
What the f***? Please.
What the f***? What are we eating?
Please don't tell me it's like Sasquatch DNA. I don't want to hear that.
You know what you're actually eating? It's made up of f***. This is disgusting. The lab offered two explanations to this. The first is that Subway's tuna is so heavily processed that there's no tuna that if there is tuna in the sandwich, it couldn't be clearly identified. How is that even possible? That it's so ground up and manipulated that even a DNA test couldn't figure that out? Like, I'm telling you what, if they took my body and ground it up, right, put it in a blender, they'd still be able to do a DNA test and confirm that it was a human being, right? They'd still be able to find my DNA. How processed do you have to be where you literally couldn't find any trace of DNA? I don't buy that argument. The second possibility is that there is no tuna at all. So it's one of those two. What is it then? I mean, this is nasty. New York Times commissioned the test because of a recent lawsuit against Subway that claimed the same thing, that there was no tuna in their tuna. It's disgusting. Do you remember that lawsuit? I know it was a lawsuit, but do you remember when they analyzed the bread from Subway? And I always thought it tasted like a yoga mat. But turns out it was made of the same chemicals in a yoga mat.
That's so weird.
The similar chemicals used in yoga mats was used in Subway bread. Then, of course, Subway got, you know, they got hit really hard.
Do you
remember?
Press
with all of that, and then they did the whole fresh campaign, like, now we bake our bread fresh right here. It's like, well, yeah, that... You're getting like, they're like, it's like a frozen thing. Like, you're not baking it fresh. You're putting it in an oven there, but it's been shipped to you. So you're not, it's not like there's somebody back there with like flour and salt with a like a mill making Subway bread.
Do you remember the story? What would that be? An urban legend that McDonald's burgers were kangaroo meat? Do you remember that?
No, I don't. Man. Well, this, I mean, here we have the New York Times commissioning this test. Now, you know how I feel about the New York Times, but nonetheless, now Subway is refuting the claim of this. But what is it? You know, if it's not tuna, is it dolphin? What the heck is it? Jay Kelly says, I stopped eating Subway after getting violently ill afterwards many years ago. Had the tuna, no joke. Ugh. I used to order the tuna from there. Yeah. I also get their meatball sub. I like their meatball sub. I used to get that. I'm never going to Subway ever again.
No, Subway, I always get either roast beef or the tuna. Those two. Now it's going to be Jimmy John's. Like, I want Jimmy John's tuna to be tested. I'm gonna get a testing kit, a home testing kit. I'm going to go into Jimmy John's and say, hey, I'm going to save you guys. I want to test your tuna to see how much tuna is in it. And if you beat Subway, I will eat here.
Yeah, what I mean, what is it then? That's disgusting. I mean, to think that I've been eating, for years I ate their tuna sandwiches at Subway.
Maybe it comes off the same line as hot dogs. It's like one line, it splits it, and some line goes over and becomes a hot dog, and the rest goes over and becomes Subway tuna. It's just chicken beaks and
imagine
and
talons. Oh, God. I love the guy, though, that sued them. Like, that's hilarious. Like, he's like, you know, one day, it smells like tuna, but I don't know. I'm just going to take this to a lab. I'm going to sue. I don't think this is tuna. It's probably because it's so covered in mayonnaise or whatever they do with it. So it's like watery. I don't even, ugh. It's disgusting. But yeah, like the yoga mats too. Like, that was the big controversy with the yoga mats in their bread. The same, was it the same like oil or latex? I don't know what it was, but baby shark.
Wait.
Baby shark.
It's baby shark. It's cat food. Hey, spam. Don't they? I mean, Steve, like out in Hawaii, they eat spam all the time, right? Like Natalie, her mom is half Hawaiian. So her grandfather was 100% Hawaiian. He loved like spam sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah.
McDonald's, don't they serve like spam at McDonald's there? I know like in Maine, they serve lobster rolls at the McDonald's, don't they?
What?
I love tuna. Yeah, no, they serve lobster rolls. And
there's a place called Bagel Bagel in Tallahassee, Florida, where I used to get a tuna melt. It's one of the best sandwiches. Like, it was just a tuna melt on an open piece of bread. And oh my gosh, it was perfection.
Every day at the University of Pittsburgh, in my my freshman or sophomore year, I used to go to the one Lawrence Hall, and in the upstairs they had a little small cafeteria. I used to love, and I'd bring the Wall Street Journal, and I'd bring school newspaper, and I would sit and read the whole thing cover to cover, and I would get an open-faced tuna melt they would make for me every day. I had this thing. I loved it, but it was like, you know. Real tuna.
Now I feel like I want that.
Claire
for lunch.
Says, "Ew, lobster rolls at McDonald's."
Yeah, that sounds
disgusting. I know. How many of you are gonna? You're like, oh, you're feeling hungry, and how many of you are gonna go to Subway today? pick up your, pick up your tuna sandwich at Subway. Oh, man. Cat food, Lisa says, probably has more real tuna in it. Probably. I know. Our animals eat better than we do.
Or you could just go to Subway and just bring in your own can and just hand it to him and say, hey, just would you mix this in with your tuna and make me a sandwich? Oh.
Dean Thomas says spam is the number one food in the Paradise Island. Yeah. Kevin Snyder says go to Subway for your yoga mat and Soylent Green sandwich. I always said, you know, there's got to be, now that, you know, most people are hopefully, at least in America, hopefully starting to become aware, like, of eating organically and eating locally sourced food, as try to eat as minimally processed as possible. Like, that's the goal. You know, you don't eat avocados in December because they're having to fly them up. Think about the carbon footprint of having to get you your avocado in Minnesota in December, right? Eat local, eat what you're supposed to eat in your region, right? Like, we expect to have bananas all year round, even though, like, the carbon footprint on that is ridiculous. So maybe now we get this move. I think that there's a market for, like, some sort of a burger place that's, like, everything is sourced locally.
It's
farm-raised.
We have that here. You know,
farm-to-table.
We have a place called Burgerville, and it's all locally sourced. Like, you can only get Yukon fries at certain times of the year. You can only get their Marion Berry shakes at certain times of the year. Everything's locally harvested. And there's actually Stack 571, another place that's all local, too. So there's two burger joints that have really good food that's all locally sourced.
That's great.
It's expensive.
That's the way it should
be. It's like, if I go there for two people, it's almost $40. That's the way it should be. Yeah.
The problem is that, of course, we subsidize the mass-produced processed crap in the United States. Like, Imagine if the government would actually help subsidize help subsidize local farms, making sure that we flip the food pyramid upside down. So we're not subsidizing, you know, corn syrup. High fructose
corn syrup, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, like, it's only, the farmers can only get subsidies if they grow that kind of crap. Like, if you grow real food, you fight to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you wonder how other countries are able to pull this off. It's very simple. You know, the government supports it.
Yeah, yet all these, like, billionaires, Bezos, oil companies, car companies, all these companies that are making mass profits get subsidies. They get our money because, they're showing too many. Like, why, if they're showing that many profits, why do they get subsidies anyway? Like, it makes zero sense to me when you have farmers that are trying to make real food out there struggling.
Yeah. Jay Kelly says, never mind avocados. Let's talk about limes and all the crazy shiz around cartels and farming. Yeah, eat local honey. Yeah, our mutual friend, Alex Lindsay, he was talking recently about, like, local honey. He's like, I never knew what I was missing. He's like, one day in Petaluma, wherever he lives in California, he stopped and bought some local honey from a guy, you know, who does it himself, you know, and, like, makes it right from his bees and all of that. And he's like, oh my God, it was, like, the most amazing thing in the world, having, like, real honey from a local honey from your region.
I had the same experience. I went to the market in Seattle. And this guy had honey, and he was doing out little samples. And I'm usually not a fan of honey, but he had wildflower honey. And I was walking by. He's like, hey, try this wildflower honey. I was like, I'm not really a fan of honey. He's like, what kind of honey have you had? I'm like, I don't know. It's grocery store honey my grandma used to get. He's like, no, come here. So I go over there. He gives me this little wooden spoon. I take this honey. And as it's on my tongue, I taste the smell of wildflowers. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, wow, if I was standing in a wildflower field and taking a smell and having that sweetness on my tongue at the same time. And I was like, holy cow, that is amazing. And after that, now I'm a huge fan of, like, locally sourced wildflower honey.
That's amazing. We want to get bees here, so we're going to do that. I got my mom got Natalie for Mother's Day the bee book. We're going to just get in the beehives and all that set up. And we have the whole, like, wildflower backyard field in the backyard, so that, you know, right next to them,
yeah,
where we're going to set it up. And my mom got her the bee suit for Mother's Day, so she has the full-on bee suit. There's a woman on Instagram I watch sometimes, or on TikTok. No, she's on whatever she is on TikTok. She's called, like, the Bee Rescue Lady or something like that. And I, this woman, she's like, So I went out to my car, and there was an amazing beehive underneath my car seat, you know, and she's like, so I found the queen, and she literally just stands there covered in bees. She like puts her hand in. She's like, after locating the queen, I was able to move the queen to the new rest, you know, the new place, and all of the bees followed. And she's like covered in bees. She's and no suit on or anything. She's like the bee whisperer. It's crazy.
That is crazy when I see that. I see people do that. There's a documentary where people are doing bees, and they're just like walking out there, stick their hand in there to grab a honeycomb or whatever, and their hand gets all covered in bees, and they're not getting stung. That's another thing. Once I got into the wildflower honey, I was like, this is amazing. There's a guy that raises bees in Canada, and he sent me a honeycomb, and I had never had one, and I just sat there and like bit off of that, and oh my gosh, it's like, it's just so different than what I, because like the honey out of grocery stores, like the one that comes in the little bear container.
Oh.
Like if you have that after you've had real honey, you're like, that is not honey. I don't know what that is. Have you ever had wildflower?
Yeah, that's honey? All. I think we've had some local honey. There was a bee festival in Pennsylvania that we would go to in Holly, Pennsylvania, where we near where we lived, and in Narrowsburg. So it's right across the river in Narrowsburg, New York. They had the bee festival. So all these local vendors bring their honey, and so I got a bunch of like honey made chapsticks, you know, and fresh honey, and everything was. Honey candles and stuff, or beeswax candles and all that. I don't think I sat and like appreciated it as much as I probably should have. But once we get this all set up here, I can't wait. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah,
it's
supposed
to be so good for you too, to put it like in your tea and like.
I'm telling you, man. And what you want to do is you want to put on some good classical music. You want to sit in a chair. You want to grab some local wildflower honey. And you want to take a little tiny spoonful and you want to put it on your tongue and just sit back and close your eyes and imagine you're in a field of wildflowers.
I like that. I like the sounds of that.
Yeah. Trust me.
I will do that, but no eating tuna at Subway.
You wouldn't be eating tuna.
Oh, yeah, true. I don't know what it is, but Jody Nicholson says... we stopped eating Subway when a customer found a dead mouse mixed in his spinach in his sub years ago. Ugh. Thank you for that super chat. Oh, is it usually a honey substitute, Ann Andrews says? It's not even real honey, right? It's just like probably filled with sugar and stuff.
Right? I would totally believe that because I'm telling you, I thought that was honey. Why would you not think that was honey? That's what my grandma always had. You know, it was on the counter, and she'd be like, "You want a little honey in your whatever?" And like, no, that stuff is nasty. But then when you have the real thing, it's like, yeah, there's something wrong with that. And which makes me sad too, because my grandmother loved honey. I wish I could have introduced her to real honey, because maybe she would have been like, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah, I wish I could get. Oh, you know what I should use is honey for my elbow, my bloody elbow. Someone said it's a really good wound cure, too. Oh, yeah, Curtis says, yeah, honey is used for natural wound care. So for my bloody elbow. I mean, I'm lucky I still have this arm, let's be honest. Oh, my God.
You know what I want to know?
Said something.
If you would have fallen down there and not gotten up, you know, with those nasty wounds, would Grover have come and told anybody, or would he just waited and consumed you?
It's a good question. I've thought about it often. I think he was there. He was on the leash. He was kind of like walking around me like, are you okay? What's going on here, Daddy? What's happening? Are we going on this walk? Are you going to lay there? You okay? And I don't know. I don't know. At some point, like if I didn't move, I'm sure he would have like barked. I think I get that sense. Like he's good like that. And he kind of like when the kids come and attack me in the morning, like they jump in the bed and stuff, he thinks that they're hurting me. So he starts barking at them like, you better watch. Don't touch my daddy. Like, and so like my little 4-year-old should jump in. He's like, rawr, 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 like leave him alone. So I think he would have taken care of it. He would have maybe he would have done something like Lassie, you know. He would have like nuzzled my face and like licked me to wake me up, or if I passed out, I don't know. But I will say this about the Apple Watch. We didn't talk about this on the show yesterday. You and I talked about it in the after show after we got done the show. But if you guys have an Apple Watch, go into the settings Okay, you have to do it on your phone. Go into the Watch app on your iPhone and turn on fall detection. I'm not being funny about this. There's a fall detection thing you can turn on with your Apple Watch. And it's, I think it's on by default if you're over the age of like 60 or something. I forget, maybe it's not ever on by default, but I think it might actually be. Like if your age is over a certain, it comes on by default. But if you're younger, it's not on by default. So you have to go into the Watch app and go into the thing that says fall detection on your phone. Turn it on. Now what happens is if you fall, it will call 911. Like, so I fell hard. Really hard. And I looked at my watch, dinged me, and it said, we think that you fell. Do you want us to call 911? Are you okay? And I tapped, no, I'm okay. And then it stopped. And they give you, I think, like 1 minute. And if you don't respond, they call 911 for you. Amazing thing for, like, if you've got grandparents or you're worried about anyone who's living on their own or whatever, might be a great gift. You can pick up like cheap Apple Watches now, like even generation 3, generation 4. You don't have to get like the newest fangled one, but if you got a loved one that you're worried about, yeah, it's definitely a good thing. But I was stunned. It was like, are you okay? And it was like, did you actually fall, or was this like a false alarm? Like, no, I fell.
It's like the modern day version of that. What is that called? Life Alert or something like that. Remember those old commercials? Oh, I hope I've fallen and I can't get up.
She's pressing the button on her chest. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's pretty amazing technology anyway.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Much love to you. I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm trying some different things with the show, like doing live trading and so forth. I've got another podcast interview a little bit later today, so I can't do another live trading show today. I'm wondering how I'm going to do all that. I don't know if it might be something I do on like Clubhouse or Green Room or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But
or members only.
Just playing around with some. For members only, perhaps. Yeah. So if you're a member of our show, if you've joined us here for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can become a member and show your support for independent journalism. Just go to morninginvest.com/join is how you can become a channel member. And then you can chat along with us here during the show. Otherwise, if we don't, it'd just be crazy. We have to turn on members-only chat. Otherwise, it just flies by like crazy. So, thanks, everyone, for joining us today. I'm going to go check on the dog, see what he's up to. There he is, like a little nugget. Much love to you guys. We'll see you back here tomorrow, bright and early, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Peace.
Come on, man.